Good morning, everyone. My name is Nancy Tozer, and I am a member of your Board of Trustees, at least for the next couple of weeks, and I welcome you to East Shore Unitarian Universalist Church. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any newcomers who are with us today, and I encourage you to spend some time getting to know us. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, you are invited to sign up at the greeters table just outside in the narthex, and you'll find additional information at the pamphlet rack in the narthex, or from any one of us. We'd be happy to chat. Please do join us for coffee and conversation in the back of the sanctuary following the service. And if you haven't already done so, now is a great time to turn off or to silence your cell phones or electronic devices, and do take a look at your order of service for any announcements and calendar information. You might also find it helpful to visit the newsstand right back there in the back of the sanctuary to find out what's going on in our church community and in the greater church community. Do take a moment to look at the volunteer opportunities chart and determine what small thing can you do to help sustain East Shore. I welcome you to a church of reverence, where we stand in awe of the enormous potential of human nature and the wonder of nature all around us. I welcome you to a church of love, where we genuinely care for one another and seek to make this world a better place for all living things. I welcome you to a church of discovery, where we seek our individual spiritual paths and the path to truth, and where we support one another in our own personal searches. And I welcome you to a church of connectedness, where we strive to nurture meaningful connections to each other, to the world around us, and to the universe beyond. You are welcome to a church that values reverence, love, discovery, and connectedness. Now let us be present for one another in worship and in love.
Please rise now as willing and able and open your gray hymnal to number 131, Love Will Guide Us. I'd like to open with the words of poet and social activist Thomas Merton, who also happened to be a Trappist monk. He wrote, "We are living in the greatest revolution in history, a huge, spontaneous upheaval of the entire human race. Not a revolution planned and carried out by any particular party, race, or nation, but a deep, elemental boiling over of all the inner contradictions that have ever been, a revelation of the chaotic forces inside every body. This is not something we have chosen, nor is this something we are free to avoid. And so we gather under this beacon, as we do each Sunday, to face our inner contradictions together on this journey deeper into the revolution of our time. This is the time when we choose to pry ourselves away from the screens in our lives, the media that add to the chaos. This is the time we choose to engage with one another in real time, in real relationship, in real connection, whether we're celebrating our personal successes or struggling to find wholeness. This morning, we celebrate leadership. We honor those who have served this congregation in the last year and install our newly elected leaders. During the installation ceremony, we'll be joined by all the children who are down the hall in the religious education wing so they can be part of this important process of democratic leadership and stewardship of the faith that they are inheriting. And immediately after the installation, all of us will be part of the bridging from childhood into adulthood of two young men who are graduating from high school, Andre Luckwitz and Peter Gislow. We are a multi-generational community here, and we need to be here for each other to do the work we are responsible for, tending to the upheaval of the entire human race, the deep, elemental boiling over that is affecting the whole planet.
Good morning. Rev Denis, if you wouldn't mind coming up and lighting our chalice. We light our chalice this morning with the words of Peter Samofsky. May this flame we light remind us that every one of us can bring the light of love to the world. May this clear flame be a symbol that every heart can burn bright with joy, peace, and harmony. May the wisdom of ages speak to us through this flame and stay in us. Every one of us can be a blessing to the world.
Ramadan, the Muslim holy month of fasting, prayer, and reflection, is nearing an end. Islam is all about intentionality. It's about serving God and living constantly in prayer, connected to God, to other Muslims, and to the world, especially other believers in the Abrahamic God. Ramadan is the month when intentionality is the most precisely and intensely focused. Praying five times per day is perhaps the most obvious part of that intentionality all year round. The devout Muslim must be clean before prayer. That means making wudu or ablutions, a prescribed method of cleaning hands and face and feet, even nostrils and ears. And it's all to be prepared to engage in the life of the masjid, the mosque. Every part of life to the devout Muslim is accompanied by prayer, before a meal, before sleep, upon waking up, before and after using the bathroom. Unitarian Universalism places considerably fewer demands on us as lay people and as ministers. But my hope for our association and for this congregation is that we live with intentionality, maybe not that kind of an intentionality, but our own brand of intentionality. And hopefully that we foster the kinds of practices that remind us that we are connected to one another and to the whole universe, so that we'll be responsible not just for our actions, but also for the consequences of our actions and the consequences of our inaction. My hope is that our shared experience will give us faith in Unitarian Universalism, faith in ourselves, faith in humanity. Ultimately, faith in humanity is exactly, precisely the goal of the project that we call liberal religion. One of our central practices of intentionality is to share our joys and concerns with one another in the most obvious way in this book, and to light candles in the center of our space for the people that we hold most dear. This morning, I am happy to report that Doris Wince is doing well at Holy Hill for physical therapy. She hopes to return home this week. And from Tiffany Griffith, I'm glad you brought this up. Rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. You were amazing in many ways and will be dearly missed. You touched many. May your soul be at peace. I think the thing I admire most about Anthony Bourdain, aside from being kind of a bad boy, was his commitment to believing women and their stories of abuse in the workplace was unerring, unfailing, tenacious to the end. So for the joys and cares shared, and for the countless others that remain unspoken, we observe a moment of silent meditation. Eric Walker Wickstrom, for a few years, was the Worship and Music Resources Director for our Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. He teaches about the humanist role of prayer for UUs and offered a little book called Serving with Grace. He writes, "Common wisdom holds that people come to church for a sense of belonging, and that getting involved with a committee or task force is a great way to meet people and feel more connected. Now, you do meet people while serving on a committee, and yes, working together in common purpose can create these bonds. But perhaps," he writes, "this is not really why people come to church. Though this is often why they say they come, I think there's an even deeper reason to have their lives transformed. If so, then no amount of encouragement will get them to sign up for one more thing in their already busy lives. Just getting involved is not enough. It doesn't speak to their deepest need, a transformed life. Imagine if the practical and administrative work of the church, meetings, planning, teaching, etc., was understood not as a necessary evil, but as an integral part of the mission of the church to spiritually nurture us. What if lay leadership were not a means to an end, but an end to itself? Could you experience the meeting room as a zendo and the deliberations of a task force as a form of group prayer? Imagine church not as a place led by a few overly taxed people, but one where leadership is a broadly shared ministry that members of the community undertake for the deep joy of it." I agree. People do come to have their lives transformed. These days, if all you want to do is meet people, there are easier, and let's face it, much less demanding and maybe even cheaper ways of doing it. Apps on our phones can now connect us in ways that used to take an entire community and years. They're free and ask nothing of anyone. Woohoo! And I hear stories from all of you all of the time about how you're connected here because of the ways in which this congregation challenges you to grow, even when you don't want to. All of the stories you share with me privately and in your reflections from this pulpit, those are the ones with the most juice to them. Those are the stories that other people want to hear. The subtitle of Serving with Grace is Lay Leadership as a Spiritual Practice. Wickstrom asserts that serving is a spiritual practice. In the book, he doesn't give any instruction on how to make service a spiritual practice. After all, UU is not as prescribed as Islam, where devotees are told exactly how to make ablutions before worship. We have a lot more space for individual expression. But Wickstrom makes these three observations that will help us each make leadership into a spiritual practice. First, he wants us to know, and I know this might be tough to grok, church leadership is hard. Ask Tiffany after last week's annual meeting. You will be stretched in ways you didn't know you needed to be stretched by everything from the demands of the clock to the discipline of Robert's Rules of Order. You'll be expected to navigate a complicated system that isn't really understood structurally and can't easily be taught. It's constantly in flux. And just as you begin to understand it just a little bit, your time of service is up. But you don't really know enough about it to fully explain it to your successor. So your successor starts the cycle all over again. You may even have a sleepless night or two during your service. Second, Wickstrom wants us to know is that church, like it or not, is a spiritual institution. Now, by spiritual, I mean transcendent. It goes beyond the merely physical. Church is designed to get you beyond yourself and your immediate needs, connected to something that makes you better. It's a place where we must be connected to everyone and everything else, and that is the very essence of spirituality. If church weren't spiritual, we could do it by ourselves in the comfort of our own homes. That's a tough one for a lot of you folks, I know. We tend to be religious, but not spiritual. By that I mean that we have a tendency to bind ourselves to one another again and again. That's what we do every Sunday at the end of worship. That's what religion is about, binding together. And yet our experiences are pretty much solely in the physical world. They're understood through the lens of science and reason and personal experience. Which brings me to Walker's third observation. Using a spiritual lens to understand the work of churches enriches our lives. Transcendence makes us better, more whole. Here in this congregation, we enrich our lives through our mission to love, revere, discover, and connect. That means we seek to find ourselves in others, to see where we are the same, where we complement one another, no matter how confusing or upsetting the behavior of the other may be. The reasoned, scientific method of interaction is to pull out the latest version of the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, and pathologize someone else. You know what I mean. Of course he would act that way. He's a narcissist. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. The spiritual, transcendent method of interaction is to ask sincerely, what could be going on here? When have I acted in such a way? How is my behavior adding to this situation? So how do we do all of that with grace? I think it's simply remembering what grace is and acting accordingly. Grace is showing up when it's easy and joyful. Grace is showing up when it's difficult and sad. Grace is asking, how can I help? Grace is asking, what did you mean by that? Instead of making assumptions. Grace is doing what's asked of you simply because it's asked of you. Grace is putting aside your ego for the greater good. Grace is knowing you're right and feeling solid in that, but not needing to prove it to anyone else. Grace is offering a gift with a charitable heart. And grace is accepting a gift exactly as it's offered, even if you might not particularly want it. Grace is making the effort to find the good, then giving sincere compliments. And grace is accepting compliments without deflection. Grace is saying, I was wrong, and apologizing, and meaning it. Grace is asking for forgiveness. Grace is forgiving. Grace is knowing you don't have all the answers and seeking to learn. Grace is giving others the space to learn while still holding them accountable. Grace is making room for change even when you'd prefer things remain exactly the same. Grace is stepping up when others can't. Grace is stepping back when you've done too much. Grace is speaking up. Grace is holding your tongue. Grace is living with paradoxes. Grace is what allows us to build things we couldn't build on our own, because grace is the tool that disarms conflict. May each of us be graceful in our leadership and forgiving of one another when we stumble. You know, every time I preach as a guest at another congregation, I request of the worship associate that I get the role, among other things, of doing the ask for the collection. And of course, every time the worship associate says, yes, please do, it's practically universal. Lay people hate asking each other for money they need to support the mission of their church home and the organizations they share their generosity with. Like the Natural History Museum of Cleveland we share with this month. I think lay people hate asking for money because they aren't always aware, as I am, of the generosity that exists among us. It's practically universal. So this morning, I'm asking you to give as generously as you can, and if it's your first time visiting, please let the collection basket pass you as our guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you all so much for your generous contributions to the wellness of East Shore. Your gifts demonstrate your stewardship of our church and make it possible for us to live our values and our mission to love, revere, discover, and connect. As a member of the Board of Trustees, I assure you that your gifts will be used responsibly toward the good of East Shore.
How I came to East Shore is probably similar to how many of you might have discovered this place. In my case, it was the funeral of my adopted father, Dr. Harry Wise. I grew up in a rather chaotic environment, and in many ways, becoming a member of the Wise household was something that grounded me and made me feel safe and accepted. The karmic coincidence between my finding stability and belonging as a member of the Wise family and then the passing of Harry bringing me to East Shore, where I now find that same sense of belonging, safety, and connection, has not escaped me. During Dr. Wise's memorial service here at East Shore, I felt something that went beyond the senses of the body and the thoughts of the mind. I remember the energy contained in these walls that was quite honestly surprising and even a bit scary. The next Sunday, I was back. I didn't even think about it. But I remember things like the smiling face of Patrick McGovern, who made sure I slapped on one of those visitor name tags, Sharon Waite, who made sure that I felt welcomed, sitting with my friend Chris here, who joined the same year as I did, and also our signature UU coffee hour after the service. I'm not going to go into my story of growing up Presbyterian, but for the first time in my life, I wanted to go to church. And I did continue to come as a visitor. I steadily had the chance to meet more and more of you. I learned about East Shore's focus on social justice causes. I learned how engaged and active members of this community have countless opportunities to volunteer at events such as the Blue Sky Festival and the beach cleanups and a lot of other things too. And most importantly, I learned about what I consider to be one of our foundational programs, the religious education program here that would allow my then 8-year-old daughter the opportunity to engage in faith development activities and classes. These faith development experiences provided her early and developmentally appropriate experiences to find out that not thinking alike but learning together is something that people of all ages, backgrounds, faiths, beliefs, and cultures can do. Marlene's learning that if she wants to worship a rock, that's okay. I think that the final hook for me was when I learned that each UU congregation, as long as it maintains fidelity to our guiding principles, has the freedom to design, organize, and implement how each community will operate. We don't have a headquarters like the Vatican that tells each congregation what to say, what to do, and how to do it. We as a community have the authority and permission to build how we want it to work. I've also come to realize the harsh fact that with that level of autonomy and freedom to build a better spiritual mousetrap, there comes immense responsibility. There's something really comfortable about some centralized entity telling us how we should do things. So I've come to learn that how we do this thing called East Shore is up to you and you and you and you, you and me. As a collection of not-to-think-alikers, which we are, means it's up to us to do sometimes the hard work of figuring out how to journey together. So in 2013, Jen and I decided to join East Shore. During the past 5 years, I've taken my responsibility of becoming a member very seriously. This community has provided the opportunity to contribute the work of giants whom shoulders many of us stand on in moving the social justice ball forward. East Shore has given me, Jen, Marlene, and all of us multiple ways to be active and make a real difference. This place is not like the blow-in, blow-out Presbyterian church of my youth. We all own it. Last year, when Rev Denny asked, and the nominating committee asked, if I would consider serving East Shore on the board, I was honestly a bit terrified. I was pretty comfortable being an active member, and I really wasn't sure I really had the skills to take on a huge responsibility like this. At the end of the day, I decided that based on my love of East Shore and my tremendous respect for Rev Denny, I would say yes. As a relatively new guy, I realize that amongst our members are people who have invested great time, energy, and passion to bring us to where we are today. We have a congregation of several generations that have worked hard to navigate the sometimes stormy waters of not thinking alike, yet we continue to walk and journey together. Last week's annual meeting was for me an eye-opening experience. It's an experience that I am grateful to have had because it will better help me in serving my East Shore community. What I saw was that when this congregation is given an opportunity to have a voice in who we are and what we do, positive things happen. Case in point, the work of COM under Tiffany's leadership and seeking the voices of many was able to tackle the revision of our mission and vision statements, and then last week received congregational approval. This happened because this community as a whole took ownership and worked together to craft the revisions that were approved. I think that was a great example of not thinking alike, but journeying together. The robust discussion of the bylaws and the bylaw changes, on the other hand, illustrated for me that in that case, we did not think alike, but we also did not journey together. Quite honestly, I believe that the reason for our not being able to get approval for the changes in the bylaw was not a congregational issue, but rather a system or an organizational issue that I hope to have some hand in changing. This is not a criticism of the Board of Trustees or the bylaw committees. Every member of these committees gives of themselves and operates under the very best intentions of East Shore. What I believe is that members of this congregation simply didn't have the opportunity to have their voices heard as the changes in the bylaws were developed. Going forward, I know this is something that we're going to get right. So even though it's the responsibility of your elected Board of Trustees to ensure that all of us have an opportunity to express our beliefs in things such as the bylaws before making a recommendation for adoption before this congregation, the other side of that coin is that this raises the level of responsibility of each and every member to become engaged not only in the adoption of the bylaws, but in every other endeavor that we as a spiritual community hold as sacred and important. Non-participation is a choice that needs to be honored. However, your choice if your choice is to be non-participatory, accept the responsibility and consequences when important decisions are made by members of this congregation. As board chair, since we're talking intentionality, my intention is to honor the tradition and the contributions of those giants, past and still among us. Find ways to grow membership and the diversity of our East Shore family. Seek, encourage, validate, and support voices of those among us who need to find their voices in not thinking alike. Providing opportunities for members to express their feedback and thoughts on important church matters, such as the bylaws. And finally, help establish an organizational structure that works effectively for connecting the dots of our many, many committees and our priorities. And I think a great example of that, and I know it's even one of Rev Denny's goals for himself, is better defining our relationship between our finance committee and the Board of Trustees. So in closing, I would just like to thank the members of the board who will be leaving service this year, Kathleen, Nancy. I think those are our only folks leaving the board this year. And also thank every other member of this organization and community that's given service on one of our many committees. Again, we couldn't do it if we didn't do it together. So thank you.
So at this time, I would just like to give some gratitude to those members who are going to be beginning their service for East Shore. I'm going to use the B word, which is busy, and I always try not to say that too much, but the term gets overused, but it's just so true. All of us are just very, very busy individuals, and everyone's time is so precious. So whatever role you accepted, whatever leadership position you chose to accept and stand up to this year, I'd like to express very heartfelt thanks to all of you for making that sacrifice and choosing to serve the congregation in this way. And it is really my hope that it is a fulfilling experience for you and you do enjoy it, and pass along that information to others so that they may be inspired to someday do the same. As we move into the ceremony to install the elected leaders of our congregation, I'd like to share a few words of Eric Walker Wickstrom from Serving with Grace. The Christian mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "If I could spend an hour with the lowest of creatures, say a caterpillar, I would have no need of sermons. Anything can be a Bible, a Quran. Anywhere can be a temple, a zendo. If you can find the sacred at a church finance committee meeting around budget time, you can do it anywhere." Seeing church leadership as a spiritual practice gives us one more tool to open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to the depths of life so that we might more deeply live and love and be in tune with life's depths, and in this way find our lives and our living transformed.
What was that great phrase you used in air quotes? Think-alikers? Not think-alikers? Not think-alikers. That's hilarious. So I'd like to invite all you not think-alikers who are serving in an elected position to come forward now, including the new chair of the nominating committee. Now, whether you were elected last Sunday or you were elected in the past, a year or two ago, please come forward now. And let's all rise and sing number 358, rank by rank,
as the children enter the sanctuary.
Within the Unitarian Universalist Association, the responsibility of leadership lies with the members. Some leadership positions are held by those willing and able to do the work at their own will. Other positions require election by the membership at large. It's a meaningful and joyous occasion when a congregation joins together, as we do this morning, to recognize those who answer the call to serve. We come together this morning to install those newly elected and those continuing to serve on the Board of Trustees, the Committee on Ministry, and the Nominating Committee of East Shore Unitarian Universalist Church. Will the members of the congregation remain standing? We, the members of East Shore Unitarian Universalist Church, hereby install you, the fellow members we have elected to leadership. We would have you bring to your positions your wisdom, your love of reason, and your commitment to love, revere, discover, and inspiration. We pledge ourselves to journey with you and to support and encourage you in your work, in unity, even when we don't agree. We ask that as you do your work on our behalf, you put the needs of the congregation before your own, as you speak and love the truth as you see it.
Don't you guys have your...
No.
Oh.
That's hilarious. Okay.
It is with joy and appreciation that I now accept the responsibilities of the leadership to which you have elected me. I will keep alive the meanings of this service so that my work will be enriched by the spirit of the trust you have placed in me. It is with understanding and faith that I pledge myself to journey with you, and as I do my work on your behalf, to put the needs of the congregation before my own, and to speak the truth as I see it. We celebrate your presence now as our elected leaders. Thank you for your service. May it be so.
I'll pass.
David, get the wasp.
Halcyon?
Okay.
We got one.
Sorry, we had waspage. I would ask that everybody now sit down.
We got one more piece before that happens, okay?
Oh, sorry.
Just one thing, okay. This is what I love about church life, right? It's hard to get everything right. So I like to share this prayer, which is a prayer, it's based on a prayer for an installation for a minister. And it's by Kathleen Relenz. Spirit of life known to us in beginnings and endings, in possibilities and promises. We give thanks for all that has led to this moment and all that is yet to come. We give thanks for those who mentored us, the women and men in our lives who are our teachers, who said the turning words of encouragement when we needed them the most. We give thanks for this congregation that has seen and embraced so much change, and for all those who have sustained this community of faith for many years past and for generations to come. We give thanks for these leaders and all that they have given and will give to the living tradition we share. May the words we have spoken and the dreams we have shared and the faith we have renewed this morning give these newly elected leaders wisdom, comfort, and courage for all the days ahead. For the way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. But deep down, there is another truth. We are never alone. Bless us in that knowledge, O Spirit of Life. Amen. And let the Amen.
I would now like to ask Peter Gislow to come back here and join us. Andre Luckwitz was not able to make it today, and he really wanted to, and he says he's sorry. We are now bridging one of our teens from youth to young adulthood. And here, so when it is your turn as a congregation, if you're new to this, he will walk between you and you will read out loud the part of the congregation, okay? You just listen. No, stay here. I speak as the voice of the Unitarian Universalist religious educators and volunteers, teachers, whom have taught you. We have taught you in Sunday school from babe to 19. And during your teenage years, we instructed you in our whole lives, a sexuality curriculum, and the curriculum of coming of age. We have played with you in the early years, celebrations, and in youth groups. We have endeavored to teach you how to use the seven principles and the six sources in your daily life. We have tried to give you the gifts of freedom, the knowledge of deep living, and to find yourself spiritually within yourselves and in the world around you. We hope that you will remember what you have learned and use it to build a strong and just life. We now bless you with our love.
I speak as the voice of Unitarian Universalist youth and children. We have circled with you and worshiped with you. We have shared with you the gifts of responsibility, spirituality, friendship, and fun. We have supported each other as we have grown and changed. We hope that you will carry forward your knowledge of what is possible with your UU spirit. We bless you now with connection and see your way to the future. Voice of those
I speak, Peter, as a voice of Unitarian Universalist leadership. We served you as we served the congregation that nurtured you and the institutions that embrace us all. We've shared stories and wisdom from the world religions. We've given you the gift of roots and wings. We hope that you will treasure what you have gained here and do your part to nurture what we have done together. We bless you now with history of our long tradition and remind you that no matter where you go, you will always be welcomed home. And I want to tell you from me directly that wherever you go, there's a UU church. Wherever you are, just call me and tell me you're there, and I'll call the minister. And it'll be a good thing, I promise. Because wherever you are, you're home. Thank you. May our ears hear what nobody wants to hear. May our eyes see what everyone wants to hide. May our mouths speak our true faces and hearts. May our arms be branches that give shade and joy. Let us be a drizzle, a sudden storm. Let us get wet in the rain. Let us be the key, the hand, the door, the kick, the ball, the road. Let us leave this place as children, going forth into this huge playground, the universe.
Thank you.
So I have a few quick announcements. Tomorrow evening, the men's group will be meeting. Tuesday evening, there's a Blue Sky meeting. Next Saturday morning, beverages and banter will be at Buckeye Chocolates and Chardon from 10 to noon. Next Sunday is a very special coming-of-age service led by five of our teens who will share their belief statements. Now, they've been working on this for a really long time with their mentors, so this is one service you do not want to miss. Personally, it's my favorite service that we ever do in any congregation. Now, the following Sunday, the 24th, I'm going to be at General Assembly in Kansas City, and the service won't be words, but it'll be food, pancakes, actually, with all the sides, so please come for that. And I want to remind everybody to sign up in the Narthex for one of these t-shirts that are a gift from the folks who worked really hard through the end of the whole mission statement process. It's a gift from them that they're paying for. These are free to you. And they have the new mission statement. We covenant to love, revere, discover, connect with those four symbols. They're available in women's, men's, and children's sizes, but only in that color. But it's a gift, so it's cool, right? Please sign up for them if you haven't already. Now I'd like to invite you to rise as you are willing and able and join hands for our bond of union, if you can do that. And if you don't know what the words are printed in the order of service. We join hands in Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, pledging ourselves to an individual religious freedom which transcends all creeds, not to think alike, but to journey together.